Good morning. It's 18 minutes after 8 o'clock. You're listening to KCAW in Sitka. And in the studio with me this morning, I have two folks out of Anchorage who have been in Sitka for a little bit. And we're going to be seeing a bit more of them. Charlie Rose from the Renewable Energy Alaska Project is the executive director there. And Shana Kilcoyne. She's the energy efficient director with that organization. And thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
It's great to have you guys. And let's see, REAP, as some people may know, your agency is doing some interesting things around Southeast. Can you kind of give us the overview?
Yeah, we sure will. REAP is Renewable Energy Alaska Project, and we are a private nonprofit organization. We're based in Anchorage, but we work statewide. And some of the things that we do, we work, we collaborate with a lot of different organizations. Some of our members are large and small utilities. We have business groups, nonprofits, Native organizations. So a lot of different entities that work with REAP, and we work with them, we collaborate, we do a lot of outreach and education, and we also advocate for energy efficiency and renewable energy policies. For example, one of the things we've been working on, or we have worked on in the past, is getting a policy, or not a policy, sorry, a goal to improve our energy efficiency 15% by 2020. Another thing we've worked on is to try to get adequate funding for some of the programs that we currently have, such as the Home Energy Rebate Program and Weatherization Program, the Renewable Energy Grant Fund, and Emerging Energies Technology Funds.
Some of those sound sort of familiar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, you're doing specific things, though, around Southeast right now. So what are you up to with REAP in Sitka specifically, of course, but also regionally?
Well, Repower Sitka is the name of the project we're working on right now, but it's really Repower Southeast. Last spring, the Alaska Energy Authority finished a long process in Southeast Alaska to create a regional energy plan called the Southeast Integrated Resource Plan. And there was a few controversial recommendations in that, but what was not controversial at all was that we should be more energy efficient. So the demand side recommendations were important. And because we've seen other plans just go onto the shelf and collect dust, we immediately went to the Alaska Energy Authority and said, we could help you implement that plan, but we'll focus just on the demand side. We'll focus on the energy efficiency side. So we are working now in three pilot communities, Cake, Craig, and Sitka, that all have different energy profiles, different sizes, different technologies they're using to generate power and heat. And we are working to make energy efficiency more exciting because it just isn't that top of the radar for a lot of people. People want to talk about projects. But the
sure.
first fuel and the best thing we can always do is invest in being more efficient with the BTUs and the kilowatt hours that we're already generating.
You know, I think people do a little bit of a blank stare when you say BTUs and kilowatt hours.
Right.
So are you making it a little, well, shall we say, sexier?
Yeah, we're talking about money.
Oh, okay. Well, everyone gets that.
Everyone does get money. And we're really trying to motivate individuals in the community to start changing their thinking and behavioral habits regarding energy efficiency and conservation. And in order to do this, we're developing a community-specific profile on how much money is being spent in each community, sent out of each community in order to import liquid fuel for heat, electricity, and transportation. And so instead of talking about gallons and BTUs and kilowatt hours, we can say, well, in Sitka, we estimate that over $50 million is leaving your community every year in order to bring in these fuels. And that's, I mean, Sitka is able to keep quite a bit of it here just because of the hydro that's available. And so this is just money leaving the community for liquid fuel.
So just think about that. Even if you were to be able to be 10% more efficient, which is totally doable, that's $5 million that stays in the community, circulates in the community probably 2 or 3, 4 times before it leaves. So it's really a big deal. And we're hoping to replicate this methodology statewide because it's happening all over the state.
Sure. It's not like it's just happening in Southeast.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, as you know, Southeast has been blessed with a lot of hydropower, so we aren't used to having to pay, you know, diesel. But now we are. We're getting used to it. So really, $50 million, that's kind of a big chunk of change. What are you bringing into that amount? What kinds of things in terms of energy efficiencies?
It's actually not been an easy number to configure, and thankfully, with some help from local folks here who have already done some of this research, we've been able to work with the numbers that they've developed and kind of go off of those. There's no requirement that says that entities or vendors that sell fuel have to report how much they're selling. And so we're in the weeds. We're really having a hard time figuring out exactly what this is. But yeah, it is quite a hunk of change. And I mean, you just mentioned the hydro that Sitka has, and that's great. But as I think a lot of Sitkans know right now, the city is burning about 3,900 gallons of diesel every day to make up for that low hydro capacity right now.
Right. And we're not even really into our fish processing season.
Right.
That's right. So we're looking at diesel number one, diesel number two, gasoline are the primary fuels that we're looking at that compose that over $50 million a year.
Now, when you say the $50 million, is that just the cost of getting it here?
That's the cost of to the consumer. That's what's being spent. Okay. So there's some of that will stay here in the community for the vendors who are selling it. But for the most part, you know, the wholesale cost of that that product is leaving the community.
Okay. And also, you know, obviously somebody's paying for the shipping, and that would be us.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, $50 million is a big number, but the state right now we're estimating is spending $5 billion. $5 billion a year on energy. Now, all of that is not all leaving in the state because, you know, kilowatt hours will often stay around. The local utility companies are making power with local resources. But if you're not using renewable energy, a local resource, then you're by definition using a fuel that's coming from somewhere. And even in the rail belt where we come from, we're looking at importing liquefied natural gas from somewhere, the world market, just next year. So we'll be importing fuel, ironically, in Cook Inlet, where we have trillions of cubic feet of natural gas in Cook Inlet.
And that's mostly an infrastructure problem?
Well, it's the problem that we've got all around the state, which is we've got a very small market. So even the 500,000 people who live between Homer and Fairbanks, which is 5/7 of the whole state, don't compose a big enough market for the natural gas that exists either in Cook Inlet or on the North Slope to have been developed. I mean, we've had that gas on the North Slope for as long as we, you know, have been a state, has not been developed yet, in part because we have such a small market. And of course, all the schemes now to get a pipeline built are for export. And if
right.
we have an export market, it means we're going to be susceptible to export prices.
So we're not maybe getting ahead there with that scenario. But let's bring it back to Southeast. So you've been out looking at Craig and Cake and Sitka. What are you finding?
We're finding, we're meeting a lot of interesting people, and we're really talking to the community to see what it is that they would like to do, because really this is their project. We don't live here. We're not the messengers. We're not the ones that are going to be paying the energy bills here in the future. And so we did pick Sitka, Craig, and Cake because there are already communities that are engaged in taking initiative on energy and the high energy costs. And what we've kind of moved towards is we're doing a couple of things. And one of those is trying to connect commercial energy buildings with resources that are available. One reason we're doing that is because there's already a handful of Baranoff Island Housing Authority, for example, in town here has been working on weatherization for residential homes. And the Home Energy Rebate Program has been, I would say, quite successful. And so these are programs that people are familiar with and aware
sure.
of.
Yes, they
but
are.
But commercial resources are actually, there's some new ones coming out and that have been developed within the past few years. For example, for public buildings, there's a new revolving loan fund through Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, and it's a $250 million revolving loan fund. And so that's available, and there's some for private commercial buildings as well. And so one of the things that we want to do is make sure that people are aware of these.
So are commercial buildings a pretty large part of this $50 million?
Sure. They definitely are. I mean, any large business is going to have a big utility bill if it's got a big building. And, of course, who pays ultimately for the utility bills of any business? It's the customers. So the public buildings are really important, too, because We're all eventually paying for that, too, through state appropriations. Alaska Housing Finance Corporation just estimated that the utility bill for the state, that is for the public buildings and the schools, is about $642 million a year. So it's a lot of money we're paying for heat and electricity in our public buildings. And again, if you start slicing off 10, 20% of that, that's a heck of a lot of money. But there's a lot of enthusiasm in these three communities to do something. And again, that's why we began with three communities who were already taking initiative. Mm-hmm. For instance, in CAKE, there are four or five different entities, federal, state, nonprofit entities, who are all working in CAKE because CAKE has shown that they really care about this, and they're trying to find ways to retrofit lighting and to make their buildings more efficient.
So is one of the things you do help communities municipalities figure out how to apply for these funds?
Yes, and in fact, in CAKE, we've already worked with one entity to submit an application for a commercial energy audit. So certainly that's something that we are doing, as well as just doing outreach and education about these programs, because the first step is to make sure that people are hearing this again and again, and they think to themselves, okay, there's something available, maybe I should look into this.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes along with the other part of our program is to do a lot of media outreach. So we're collecting stories right now. And, I mean, the thing about energy efficiency is we need to keep working on creating a buzz. And to do that, we want to tell people about all the successes there are. Because let's say you put a solar panel on your house, you're going to talk about it to your neighbors. But maybe you did some weather stripping and your house is much more comfortable now. You might not mention that to your neighbors. But that's something that we want to start bringing up and getting into the news and start getting people talking about.
That's right. I mean, there's a lot of money to be saved. Baranoff Island Housing Association drove us around a little bit yesterday and showed us some of the homes that they've been weatherizing. And we asked, well, after that's been done, how much savings does that person expect to get? And they said maybe half. So their utility bill, their heating bill, is going down in half. And if we get those kinds of results, then maybe those people will be talking to the neighbors. But we want to make sure that that happens. And the other thing we're really trying to stress is there's a difference between conservation and efficiency. Conservation requires behavioral change, and we're not always, as humans, that great at doing that. It's like the difference between remembering to turn off the light or putting a motion sensor in your room so it does it for you. So one is efficiency and one is conservation. And particularly in places where it's already very expensive, like CAKE, it's almost offensive to tell people to conserve because they're already doing it. They're already living in a home that is super, conservative with the energy that they use, but they might not have thought about replacing that really inefficient refrigerator or the inefficient light bulbs.
Sure. Yeah. I think people are getting a much better consciousness about that.
Mm-hmm.
But, old habits are tough to break.
Mm-hmm. Right. And in Sitka, you have that appliance rebate program the city's had for, the $100,000 fund. It's been great.
That just ended. They successfully completed that program and all $100,000 was spent.
Right.
That's great.
But that was for appliances, and that was an excellent example of something a local community can be doing.
Mm-hmm. So what other things have you seen? We just have a couple minutes left, but what other interesting projects are people doing, like in Craig and CAKE and, even here in Sitka?
Well, Mount Edgecombe, we talked to them the other day, and they're working on a handful of different things. They just retrofitted the lighting in their gymnasium, and they were showing us yesterday, if you don't walk under a certain string of lights, they'll dim or turn down. And they're actually working on a handful of big capital improvement projects, I think, in the near future. And we were shown the area where their new boiler is going to go. So that's pretty exciting.
We know, for instance, in a lot of places, folks are looking at different ways to heat their homes. And, mm-hmm. and that's just across the board. There's probably
sure.
too many to mention. But there's a lot of ways to heat your home. People are switching to heat pumps, or they're moving off of heating oil to just more efficient heating systems that use oil or propane. It really is a difficult thing, though, to know exactly what you need to do unless you have somebody come in, do an audit, and that's why weatherization rebate programs on the residential level are so important,
mm-hmm.
and then the audit programs for commercial buildings and public buildings that the Chana was mentioning.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that people know that that's an option, those audits. Maybe they do, but, That's kind of a new thing, I think, that there's money, there's possible funding through state loans to start looking at commercial structures.
Right. I mean, we're all so busy in our lives today. And unless we can make it really easy for people to do things, there's going to be some inertia. And even if it could save them money, people may not immediately go to it. So we're hoping to find ways to make it as easy as possible. And also, like Shannon mentioned, to make sure that we have local messengers and local messages that are going to resonate, because what resonates in Cake may not resonate in Craig.
Sure. Sure. Well, and how long are you guys going to be in town now?
I'll be here again this weekend. I'm heading to Cake at the end of the week and then kind of jumping around.
And we'll be back later in the spring.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Renewable Energy Alaska Project with Chris Rose, the executive director, and Shannon Kilcoyne, the energy efficient director. And do you have a couple of phone numbers and a website maybe that you can give to our listeners before we let you go?
Sure. Well, the website for the project is repowersoutheast.org, and our Renewable Energy Alaska Project website is realaska.org.
Okay, very good.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming in. It's been a real pleasure talking with you.
Thank you.